You are listening to the Be Your Own Makeup Artist podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Satare, former military officer turned professional and award-winning makeup artist and educator and author of the book, Be Your Own Makeup Artist. This podcast is for makeup enthusiasts, makeup artists, and everyone in between. I share insights about the beauty industry, invite industry experts, and try to keep the content more about makeup education and less about buying this or that. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, everyone. I hate to interrupt the show really quick, but I wanted to let you know about my book, Be Your Own Makeup Artist, the same name as this podcast. My book I wrote in 2019 after years of putting together diagrams and documents and tips and tricks for makeup beginners, for those of my clients who had no clue how to wear makeup. And now I have a 114-page full-color book, perfect for visual learners. There are no age, gender, race biases in it. It is written completely inclusively. That was always very important because, you know, I believe makeup is for everyone. Also, I'm not pushing any brands. Nope. This was a self-funded book, which means nobody paid me to talk about what products to use. It's all about the tools and the techniques and the learning about how to wear makeup. It is available in hardcover and paperback. You can get it at a lot of the big retailers, but if you get it on beyourownmakeupartist.com, you'll also get my free essential tools for makeup guide. And it has all of my favorite products that I love and use and I think are great to have. And don't worry, there's no bias in there. So if you are a makeup beginner, if you know a makeup beginner, or if you teach makeup beginners, this is the perfect book for you. Head over to beyourownmakeupartist.com, go grab it, and you'll be on your way. Okay, back to the show. Hey everyone, this is Natalie Satare, your makeup artist and beauty coach here, coming at you with such an amazing question I received. I could not wait to answer this, and I knew it had to be a podcast episode because this is a question as a makeup artist I get asked a lot, and not just with my clients. I get asked this question with my friends or with my colleagues. And also, I think I also ask myself this question. And sometimes I have to assess why this is happening to me as well. So I think that this is an amazing question. And I'm going to read it word for word. If you didn't know, I have this feature on my website. It's called Ask Satare. It's just nataliesatare.com/AskSatare, and you can ask me a question, and it might even make it on the podcast. So make sure that you ask me those questions, and I can maybe get to it. If it doesn't make a podcast episode, I'll still answer it in an email or maybe a blog post. But this question is, when is too much actually too much? When I put on makeup, I always feel like it's too much and end up being either uncomfortable or take it off. When I see my pictures later on, the makeup was barely noticeable. Petra. And who resonates with this? I swear, anybody who wears makeup probably knows exactly what Petra is talking about. And I feel like we need to first break down what is too much. Too much is such a personal preference. It might be too much when makeup feels heavy on your skin or like you can't breathe, but it might look really good. Or it might, too much might mean like, I don't know. I mean, too much can mean something. If somebody's not wearing any makeup and then they put on a tinted moisturizer, that could feel like too much. If somebody is used to wearing full coverage foundation every day, but then they switch to a different foundation, it might feel different and that might feel like too much. So too much is really, really a personal preference, and it's also really nobody else's business. The only person that you should
only be wearing makeup for is you, and it should make you feel good. You're not doing it to impress other people. Granted, I do like to wear makeup to be more presentable so that other people will be like, oh, she looks presentable. But that is not the reason I wear makeup. I wear makeup because it makes me feel good. So if it feels like too much, then it's probably too much. But it could also be a question of application. I do want to say that just because a color doesn't match doesn't necessarily mean it's too much. It just might not be the right match. And I think that I see all the time, I don't see all the time because I promise I'm not like out there in the world looking at people's makeup. But sometimes I do notice if somebody is wearing a foundation that doesn't match, it does look like it might be too much, but it's really probably just because they're wearing the wrong color foundation. So that is something, Petra, make sure that your color is a good match. I have a foundation. I have a post all about how to shop for a foundation and how to get a perfect color match. So you can find that on my blog. And another thing that I need to talk about before we get into answering your question is skincare. If you are not applying foundation, if you aren't applying, I cannot talk today. So if you are applying foundation on clean and well moisturized skin, and it feels like too much, then the foundation is probably too heavy, or it's not flexible enough, or it's not right for your skin type. If you are applying your foundation on top of dirty or unmoisturized or skin, that will also not feel right. I do also have an amazing free skincare guide. I had a friend she's an amazing esthetician and an old friend of mine. She is Liz. You can find her on Instagram at Surface by Liz. She helped co-write it because she is the professional esthetician, and I put my makeup 2 cents in there, and she put all of the rest of like the really nitty-gritty skincare stuff. So you can also find that guide on my website if you go to nataliesatare.com/skin-type-guide. You can get that download. But anyways, digressing, skincare is really important for your makeup, because if you, let's say, have oily skin, but you're wearing a foundation that is designed or that has certain ingredients that is more for dry or normal to dry skin, your makeup is not going to feel right. And if you have alternatively dry skin and you're wearing foundation for oily skin, it might look like your makeup sucked into your face. So really, really being, really, really knowing that the products that you're using are designed for your skin type specifically is really important. So now that I've like hammered that in, I think it's really, really important for you to know what type of foundation are you wearing, Petra, and how are you applying it. Some of the common mistakes I see in foundation are people applying too much. And I see this because, I mean, I think any professional makeup artist will agree, we almost cringe when we see these YouTube videos or these Instagram videos where they're like squirting product right onto like a beauty sponge or right on top of a brush or even right on top of the face. I mean, your makeup should be, it's a work of art, right? And so we're going to do nice layers. And when you start with a big cakey layer and you're applying makeup like the way they do on the social media or YouTube, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. And I'm not trying to slam the YouTubers or Instagrammers. They're applying their makeup under pretty intense studio type lighting, most of them, at least the ones that are really big. So they have like a studio setup. So they're going to need to apply a lot more foundation on their face so that you can see it, and also a lot more colors and everything else like that. But more foundation specifically, they're going to need to apply more because they're in those intense lights. And so that's why, makeup for your day-to-day is going to be different than HD type makeup or makeup for photography. And that's also why bridal makeup is a specialty, because you want the brides to look really natural and glowing and beautiful and the best version of themselves, but they also need to look like amazing in photos. So bridal makeup is a little different that way. Just putting it out there for all the, I do brides. I'm not a full-time bridal artist, but I want to make sure to shout out to them. It's not as easy as it looks. So if you are using a liquid foundation, one pump should normally do it. I have several different liquid foundations that I use. I tend to go, I'm drawn to liquid foundations for my day-to-day use because they are sheerer. You can build them up. They feel light on the face. They're flexible. I move and smile a lot, like my muscles in my face. If it's a heavy foundation, then I can feel it immediately. So I only use one full pump. Sometimes I will use more if I need it, if I needed some extra coverage. I also try to make sure that my foundation is on really nicely so I don't need a lot of concealer. Concealer I use very, very sparingly, maybe a little bit under the eyes, right next to my nose, sometimes on my chin. But I really make sure that my foundation is doing what it's supposed to do, and that's evening out my skin tone with a nice layer. A trick that I saw another makeup artist who I love. She's a very famous makeup artist, Danessa Myricks. If you don't follow her yet on social media, you should definitely do that. But she actually does it as well. I saw her doing it. And I'm like, I do that too. But I do apply the foundation. And then I take, instead of applying foundation with a beauty blender or a beauty sponge, it's like the egg-like sponge. Instead of applying makeup with that, I actually use it to remove the excess. So I dampen it and then I roll it across the face to remove any excess because I don't want that. And for concealer or something very specific, I'll use my fingers and then I'll use the beauty blender to press it in into those really delicate areas. So if you are using liquid foundation and or concealer, make sure that apply with your fingertips, rub it in nicely onto moisturized skin. If you have really oily fingertips, use a brush and then use that beauty blender or sponge to like press it in and remove any excess. That should really, really help. If you are using cream foundation, that's a little bit different because cream foundation can get kind of cakey. It can get cakey because they're generally high. They have more pigmentation in them. So if you are using a cream foundation, thin it out a little bit with an oil. If you have dry skin or a moisturizer, an oil-free moisturizer, if you have oily skin, and you can sheer that out a little bit. And also it gives the cream foundation a little bit more flexibility. So when you put it on your face, I would say still take your sponge or really make sure that you're working it in so that there's no streaks or lines or anything like that. And then again, if you're using a powder foundation, just like cream foundation, powder foundations can also get really, really cakey. So I like to apply my powder foundations with a dense, but not too dense of a kind of kabuki face brush. You can also apply with a clean velour puff. I try to avoid those dense sponges that a lot of the powder foundations come with. It can get really, like I said, it can get really cakey really fast. Those sponges get gross and nasty and you have oil on your face and you put it in there and then you put it in and then you get that little grimy thing. So just try to avoid that and use a brush. I always start in the center of my face and work outwards towards the outer part of my face, always being really mindful about covering the ears if I need to. And also the pressure is going to generally be the pressure you're applying with your brush. And this goes for all of the foundations, but the pressure is going to be a little bit harder, on the T-zone. And then as you work outward, then the pressure is going to get less and less because that's not the area of our skin closest to our ears, for example, does not get as much sun. It's probably a little lighter than like our nose, for example. So you really want to make sure that you're not applying too much. And I always like, you know, I think of Photoshop, I guess, where I like to think of little movements instead of long movements. But that's just a personal preference. There is no right or wrong way to do this. Excuse me. So I hope that helps. And then lastly, this is, I feel like I learned this from my grandma, my Oma. But at the end of not every time, but a lot of the times, sometimes she would apply her makeup and then she would take like a really soft cloth or like not a washcloth, but like a handkerchief or just a nice soft cloth or velour, or you can use a clean velour puff. And at the very end of the application, she would just kind of wipe off a layer. I mean, the sponge or the puff didn't really get that dirty, just a little bit, but it kind of just took any of that excess in a dry form instead of the damp, sponge beauty blender form. And it just kind of can take off like any residual that's just kind of like lingering. So I think that those tricks, depending on where you fall into like how or what type of foundation you use, I think that those can help. And as far as feeling washed out in your pictures, so flash photography can bring out the best or worst of our makeup. Professional photographers know how to use flash, control it, subdue it, so that the shadows created on our face are balanced. And of course, a lot of professional photographers are going to edit the pictures, and they know how to edit it in a way that is still really natural. But when we're taking, you know, selfies with our iPhone, or people, you know, we're sitting and there's a point and shoot camera, there's generally that one little flash, or the lighting isn't good. And so, I mean, it's, unless we're wearing a lot of makeup, the pictures are going to we're going to look probably a little bit more washed out, especially the older we get. So I think that if you know that you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be photographed, like let's say you're going to a brunch party, you know, there's going to be, you know, a lot of your friends there and you're probably going to take group pictures or something like that, or a birthday dinner or something like that, I would say you probably do want to wear a little bit more makeup if how you look in the pictures is going to be important to you. And it's not going to be necessarily about foundation. That's when you're going to really need to make sure that your blush is on point, your bronzer, blush and or bronzer. Contouring is such like a trend thing. Blush and bronzer can do it. But, contouring is just more of the shaping of the face. And it's gotten to this ridiculous extreme now. But, some people love it, and that's, you can do that. It's whatever you want. But really, blush and bronzer is so important. A lot of times it's skipped, it's not applied correctly, or people are using the wrong colors. So if you just make sure that you are taking care of that. I just finished the chapter of blush and bronzer in my book, shameless plug here, but I like go into detail about blush and bronzer, and I also put all the colors in a graph so you know exactly which types of colors you would want to shop for and why for your skin tone. Anyways, it's pretty awesome. And then, of course, under the eyes is always going to look darker in real life. There's a couple reasons, but first of all, not everybody, but a lot of us, the bones, like our eyebrow bones are going to be more forward than underneath our eye, because we have a forehead and our forehead is going to protrude a little bit out more. And this is actually creating a shadow. So if you aren't getting sleep, you have under eye bags and you have like a normal kind of head, you're going to create like a shadow situation. Sometimes even long eyelashes can create a shadow. And like I said, with flash photography, it's not taking into account the shadows. So you're going to see shadows too. And that's also why sometimes the under eye looks darker than it does in real life. That's why when I take a selfie, I go stand right in front of a natural light, or I stand in front of my makeup light and I take my picture, because I know that those shadows aren't going to be there. So if that's an area that you are a little bit, you know, concerned with, make sure the lighting is good. And when it comes to pictures, I also try to direct, if I know it's going to be a picture that I really want to be in and it's going to be worth it, I will direct where we are going to go. I'm going to be like, no, this is not good lighting. We're going to go stand here. And it might be ridiculous. A lot of the times I don't care. But that is, I completely get it. I do care sometimes. So I will step in and be like, nope, we need to stand in front of this window and it's going to be beautiful and we're all going to look great. And then the lastly is your lipstick or lip color or lip gloss. So as we get older, just like our skin kind of gets a little dull and less elastic, our lips also get a little bit more dull, and, you know, they're just not as plump as they were when we were like 15 years old. And so that's why as we get older, we tend to be a little bit more adventurous with our lipstick or our lip color. If you're not adventurous with that, that's okay. At least get a clear lip gloss. That's going to add some dimension back to your lip. And it's just going to kind of just put a nice, you know, like a clear nail polish looks really good on nails compared to them being, you know, just dry or with no color on there. The same is true with a nice lip gloss, but you can also get like chapsticks that have tints of color in there. I love the ones from Burt Bees. Those are pretty intense, actually. They're almost like a lipstick, but they're not. But they have some beautiful colors. Watermelon is my favorite, FYI. But they have a really beautiful apricot color that looks great for, you know, those of you with blonde hair, blue eyes, more fair skin, that looks great on you. And then they have a couple shades darker than watermelon for those of you with deeper skin tones. It's just beautiful. But with lip color, there's no rules. I mean, it's just preference. Obviously, there are some colors that look better, whatever. That's all in my book. But anyways, I don't want to talk about that too much. I just hope that I could answer your question of when is too much actually too much. I would love to know what you think about this episode. If this resonated with you all in any way, let me know. Send me an email, natalie@nataliesetare.com. Or ask me your question, nataliesetare.com/askSetare. I have a blog. I try to record these episodes every once in a while. I have my book coming out, Be Your Own Makeup Artist, Unleash Your Inner Beauty. I am so excited about that because I really believe that everybody, man, woman, child, I don't care. It's a life skill, and knowing how to wear makeup, it doesn't mean you have to wear makeup every day, but just knowing how to wear makeup is so empowering. It's a great skill set to kind of have. It's a great feeling to know how to navigate the beauty aisles and how to shop for yourself and be back in control instead of just wasting hours watching. The videos are entertaining. I like watching makeup tutorials and stuff, but I'm talking about for actually learning and actually like knowing what's going to be good for us. I think that's what my book is all about, is just teaching. It's not about what products to buy or being sponsored or anything like that. So you can go pre-order your copy, or if by the time this is, maybe it's already out, it's out June 28th. Of 2019. That is such a mouthful. But anyways, beyourownmakeupartist.com, or you can find it on my website, nataliesetare.com. And yeah, I hope you love this episode as much as I love talking all about makeup with you. And until next time, stay beautiful.